I promised Bli Neder, we are going to do the Gra, and the Gra includes a piece from the Zohar, which I put in footnote one for you in its entirety, the part that he quotes at least. It's very fascinating, very important yesod about how the Torah presents itself to the Loimed HaTorah. So let's begin from the beginning. Pasuk says, "Shesei mayim mibayrecha." So the Vilna Gaon understands "bayrecha" as a statement of yegiyas haTorah, struggling at the very beginning, both in terms of one's personal intensity, the amount of time that's spent, and more particularly the effort to comprehend. So why is it shesei mayim mibayrecha that is meramis to this? Ki habo lishtois mayim min habayo shehu mayim mechunosim sarich lichnois betoicha oilishoiv misham mayim vuhu biyegiyo rabba. Because how is a person going to get the water out of the cistern where the water was collected, if not either to jump into the cistern and then pull the water out, or some other way get into the water and schlep it out against gravity? So the whole effort requires yegiyah rabba. It's a lot of strain. Aval habol ishtoison min ha'mayon, when a person is drinking from a fountain, so the water comes to him because the water is coming out of the ground towards him. Of course, the Mayan goes only so far, so he has to travel to that place. But once he's at the well fount, he has the ability to access the water easily. He doesn't have to jump deep into the cistern. What happens if you have a very strong flow of water, where the water gushes forward with such power that it goes a distance? So then he doesn't even have to travel much. So basically, the Gaon is introducing us to three levels. There's one level which requires a tremendous effort, the second level which requires minimal effort, and the third level which requires almost no effort at all. Yeah, v'zehu, shesei mayim mibayrecha tchila al yedei yegiya, v'charkach v'noizolim mibayrecha ha'hu, hu mimayin ha'neveya, v'haynu shegimul zmanim la'toyra. Aleph, kishu loimid mirabay, v'abeis kasha loimid la'acherim, k'ma shekosu b'pirush al shir ha'shirim, ala posuk, right? And that's ze she'ama she'sei mayim mibayrecha haynu k'she mekabitz mayim mimokom acher she'loimed me'acherim v'noizl mitoch be'elcha k'shato lomid levadcho mechadish dvorim v'hu yilucho k'mayon ha'noiveya. And then just read the next pasuk. Yafutz mayinosecha chutza haynu achakach tilmud gamato la'acherim b'rchoivos palge mayim. Right, ki b'lalamid la'acheirim u'gam kein beis dvorim. Aleph k'shem lamid ba'atzme la'acheirim, and beis hein oisun shaloi lomdu etzloi, ak sh'tarosa nispashit b'chol ha'mekoymois. This is a remez to kol ha'loshem. V'shoymim tarosa v'loim demoysam, v'zeo b'rchoivoi sh'mispashtim b'chol mokoym, v'nispalgu mayim l'chol echot v'echot. The Vilna Gaon says as follows. The most struggle and effort that a person has to put in is when he's learning Torah at the feet of his Rebbe. Now, I want you to know, there are some Rebbeim that either their Torah or their Sfarim are very difficult to access. And at first, one would think that a Baal Masbir is the best possible Rebbe, because he presents it to you in such a way that it's crystal clear. Very often, the opposite happens to be true. And there's an irony to it. If the Talmud is sincere enough, there's an irony to it, because a regular person, if he finds something inaccessible, he runs away. And in a chanami, for such a person, the only Rebbe that could possibly work is a Rebbe that's crystal clear. Because the moment he hits a barrier, this Talmud is going to say, it's not for me. You know, mali ulitzara hazais. But a true Talmud, a Talmud with proper havana in what Torah is, realizes, lefum tzara agra, Then that doesn't mean schar, a reward bashamayim. The reward is the learning itself and the ability not just to retain the learning, but to comprehend it fully. There is in the relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmud a very incredible dynamic. It's like a dance where you move forward and you move back together. And the Rambam, when he describes how a Rebbe gains from a Talmud, he also talks about how a Talmud gains from a Rebbe. And one of the points that the Rambam makes, which is of course from the Gemara, is that there's an inyan of Zroik Mara B'Talmidim. You have to make the moment of learning a moment of tension, believe it or not. It's not a moment of delight and joy. The delight and the joy comes out of the tension. But the moment of the actual learning, the Rebbe, of course he's not an ogre, he's not a monster, but the Rebbe is a Rebbe, is there to challenge you and to make you, in a certain sense, uncomfortable. Because the comfort is a contradiction to the intensity of the learning and the struggle of the Talmud. If there's no struggle, there's not going to be gain on the level that is required by Torah. Some things don't require that level. There's lots of information that you don't have to struggle to acquire. But Torah is so complicated, has so many facets, so many levels, that if a person does not have that tension, Chazal were convinced that he'll never amount to much. And therefore, there has to be an environment of tension, which the Gemara calls Zroik Mara B'Talmidim, throw the bile at the Talmud. However, what's true of the environment is even more true of the actual moment of communication. A lot of times, and I've seen this for almost 50 years, because when I came into Rav Soloveitchik Shir, I was a sachakol 16 years old. I've seen this for almost 50 years, and then subsequently when you give shiurim yourself, you come in, and it's glib, and it's easy, and it's simple. And you walk away, and someone asks you afterwards, so what did the Rebbe say? And you're struggling to even remember it, although it was 5 minutes ago. Because be'etzem, it's very complicated. But the success of the Rebbe to make it appear simple is actually not a matana toiva. Always. Because as much as you comprehend b'shas ma'isa, what he wants to say, when it's too easy, you don't even realize what the question was anymore. Of course, that's the answer. You know that many times when a person sees the answer clearly, he forgets the question, and then when he has to reconstruct it, 5 years later he's going to remember the question because the question speaks for itself. He doesn't have to remember it. He opens up the Gemara, and there's a Meirin de Kakashi here. Tosis asked the Kasha, the Ramban asked the Kasha, or you asked the Kasha. Or sometimes even Rashi will ask the kasha, or imply it. But what's the teretz? The Rebbe gave me the teretz, and it was so simple, it was so clear. It was too clear. Sometimes it's too clear. But how could you say that too clear is not good? The answer is too clear is always good if the yegiya of the Talmud comes with it. The problem is that the yegiya of the Talmud b'derech klal is always in proportion to how hard it is for him to understand the Rebbe. So you have here an ironic twist, that when the Rebbe is totally clear, it becomes impossible to retain it, because the pshat is so obvious that the brain says, gamarnu, we don't have any questions anymore, we have no issues, we have no shaklavataria. And this is a tremendous problem. That's why, by the way, when a person is not that clear, there's another corollary. The first point is that I think it's so simple that I don't retain it. I don't resolve to make it my own. It hovers there. I see it clearly, and I allow it to hover there. And I never make it my own. The second point is very simple. If I understand something, I go on. But if I don't understand something, I dwell upon it. And everyone understands that the more you dwell upon something, the more you'll gain from it, and the more you'll retain it for sure. So when a Rebbe says something and it's crystal clear, besides the first issue that it might not have ever become integrated, even if it does become integrated, but what will I produce from it? Very little, because it remains where it is. But if I have to say, what did the Rebbe say? If I run from one Talmud to the other, my chaveri, and I ask, what did the Rebbe say over here? I don't understand what he said. He said a few words, and I can't make heads or tails from it. So one Talmud says Azoy, another Talmud says Azoy. All of a sudden, there's a whole tumult in the Beis Medrash, if they're serious Talmudim. And before you know it, besides getting what the Rebbe said, they also get all of the implications of it. They get the comprehension that comes together with it. And that is, of course, a different level of understanding entirely. So not only to understand what the Rebbe said, but they understand what the Rebbe said. And that's bedavka because of the struggle. So very often, when it's too easy, it's not good. That's why you have a very interesting thing. I was once comparing the way the Ramban presents himself in the various Sfarim that he wrote. And you find a remarkable thing. The Ramban, in his drasha, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, he's talking to the Hamona, and it's very heavy Torah. It's not, this isn't schmaltz. This is very serious Torah. But the presentation, hafle vafele in and of itself. The Ramban does not need our stamp of approval, but what I mean to say is that almost anyone can pick it up and immediately comprehend the essential points that the Ramban is making. Go to the opposite extreme, and then you have a series in between. Each sefer has its own level of comprehension. It's remarkable. You'd expect that the same person writes in the same style and writes the same way, regardless of what he's doing. It's not so at all. And most people think the Ramban in the Mochamis, which is Pirush on the Rif, and his discussions with or against the Baal Hamor, that's the most esoteric. One of the reasons is because when it was printed originally, the lines are a mile long, and you don't even know where the next line begins. You get all tzedumt. But that's not it. It's really very, very hard to understand, unless you're immersed in the sugya. But I believe, and I think I'm right, that the Ramban in his Chidushim, which are easier to read in terms of language, are actually much harder. The Ramban and the Chidushim are harder. Because you see what he says, and then you ask yourself, but what is he saying? It's almost like he leads you to the edge, but he doesn't make you drink. You have to drink yourself. And if you learn a lot of Ramban, and then, for example, you learn from the Cheder of the Ramban, the Rashba, and even more so the Ritva, or the Ran, you see a tremendous difference in your own comprehension when you learn the Ritva, and he's saying the same thing, the same point, and the Ramban. The Ramban in Chumash is in between. Not an easy limud. Not an easy limud. But nevertheless, not nearly as complicated or as difficult as the Ramban in his Chidushim on Shas, and much easier than the Ramban in his Drash on Rosh Hashanah. And there are other Sfarim in between. But I was fascinated of the layering of the Ramban, and I asked myself the question, why? So one answer is very poshut. If you're talking to Talmidim who are Ga'ayne Oilam, who are the Talmidim of the Ramban, and you're talking about the Rashba, the Ra'ah, we're talking about giants. So you don't have to say all that much, and they comprehend. That's true. So Memela, that which he wrote, like from the Beis Medrash, is different than what he wrote for the Hamona, or what he recorded from the Drushes to the Hamona. This is all true. But there's another truth. The other truth is, and I believe this, that they were not interested in spoon-feeding, because spoon-feeding is dangerous. It's easy come, easy go. It's like our Kenyan in Eretz Yisrael. Shloish advarim niknim b'yisurim. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. It's exactly, the gift is the Kenyan with Yisurim. Because without Yisurim, the Kenyan cannot last. It cannot have the substance that it requires. Now, this is a tremendous, tremendous Yisoid in Limud HaTorah. So the Gaon says here that Shesei Mayim, the Yegiyah that a Talmud has to have, is sometimes artificially, as it were, imposed by the Rebbe's esoterics. It's too hard to understand. It's not glib enough, so I have to harvest. The real Madrega of a Talmud is tested when the Talmud finds it easy to understand the Rebbe, and afal pi kein horavis in his words. And no Talmud in the world was ever truly successful unless he had the time to put in the effort. So people who are fractured and who's busy this, that, and a morning schedule, a night schedule, mit a college noch dazu, forget about all the questions about college. Yegiya requires an immersion of 24/7. That's what it is. You can't be kind of Torah in the absolute sense unless there's nothing else but. And then all of a sudden your whole concept of Yegiya changes. You live and you breathe it. Many Gedolim have said that the problem is not how many hours did you put in. The problem is the tsiruf of the hours. A person who falls over the Gemara from exhaustion only to get up. Of course, you have to daven and you have to do certain personal things and you have to eat and you have to sleep. But if that is the you have to and the rest of it is learning, that is the true Kinyan HaTorah. That's why the Rambam, when he speaks in that Perek Gimel, which I've mentioned so many times, he says these strange words, "Va'al ya'abed afilu laila achas mehem b'sheina b'sicha b'teila." What do you mean b'sheina? So the Torah says you sleep it. There's two kinds of sleeping. There's a sleep where you get into bed and you go to sleep, and there's another sleep where you're exhausted and you pass out. That's what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam expects that every Jew should be like that. Legabi limud haTorah, he's talking in Perek Gimel about people who have committed themselves to become Baalei Keser Torah, to be crowned with the crown of Torah. You want the crown of Torah? Secret weapon number one, or tool number one. Yegiya. What is Yegiya? Total commitment. And the total commitment requires a certain grueling and sustainable schedule besides everything else. So the Rambam's idea is presented here, interestingly enough, by the Vilna Gaon. That is shesei mayim mibor, not mimayim. Now, the next level, eventually, he's able to drink from the mayim. It gets easier, so to speak. What is the pshat that it gets easier? Because Torah, of course, is divrei Torah aniim b'mokam echad v'ashirim b'mokam acher. Sadna da'arachadu, the Gemara says, it's one long tapestry, it's one big piece of property. And when you start learning, you get a derech in learning. You start learning, you get yediyas haTorah. It actually becomes easier and easier and easier to reach the comprehension that was a tremendous struggle at the beginning. And then, when you reach a certain level, you're able to give forth Torah. And here the Gaon says something very fascinating. It's a very tragic thing that one of the great mashpiyim, one of the great inspirations of our time, was killed in a car accident in Eretz Yisrael. Yes? Who am I talking about? Reb Shamshon Pinkus. Reb Shamshon Pinkus in his time was giving shiurim and drashas, and there's no question that he had a very big hashpah. Nothing compared to his posthumous hashpah. Nothing compared to his posthumous hashpah. Thousands of shiurim, tapes, tfarim, just a constant production posthumously. And the people that he spoke to and related to pale compared to the huge number of people that in one way or another his Torah spread after he was gone. And this is what the Vilna Gaon is talking about, even b'chayim of a Rebbe. We should all live and be well. But Rebbeim have Talmidim. But the Talmidim have Talmidim. And then there are echoes of what a person says. And you never know who's listening and who's picking up a piece of Torah. This is even in the time of the Gra or earlier. Today there's nothing to talk about, because the tools and the media that are at our disposal allow for extremely anonymous hadrocha and hashpa. It's extraordinary. It doesn't have always a maila. It's good to have a living Rebbe. You have to have a Rebbe. You have to have someone you can talk to. You have some besides Aitzis and Shailas. You have to have somebody in learning that you can talk to. But just the same, the hashpah of a Rebbe is never limited to the immediate environment. That's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. Again, yafutzu ma'inoisecha chutza, haino achakach tilmoit gamato la'acherim. But berchobos palgemayim is another madrega in yafutzu ma'inoisecha. That's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. Vehem beis. Bikibel alamid acherim, ugam kem beis dvorim. Aleph, kishem alamid ba'atzmoy la'acherim, the immediate Rebbe Talmud, where they're there together in the same Dalet Amos, Beis hein oisan shaloylam du etzlei, rak shetoyrosay nispashet b'chol ha-mekoymos, v'shoymim toyrosay v'loymdim oisam, v'zehu berchobos shemispashtim b'chol mokoym, v'nispal gumayim l'chol echad v'echad. Here, by the way, also says something between the lines, that a Rebbe says one Torah, and the Talmidim pick it up in many different ways. It splits up, the water goes, and then it starts getting channeled into the various tributaries. So each direction is different from the other, and each pu'ula leads to many different consequences as a result. So how you pick up the Torah is totally in the Talmud as much as anything else. So the same Torah has many different interpretations as well. Now the going in the next pasuk, by the way, he mentioned, I don't want to skip over it. He mentioned his Pirush on Shir HaShirim. You see it in the first pasuk? V'habeiz kasher loymed la'acherim k'mo shebi'arnu b'pirush al Shir HaShirim ala posuk ba'atara she'itera loy imoy. You see it?
Yeah.
So I wanted to read to you the Lashon here, because it's a very, very important piece. So in one of the Biurim on Mishlei, with the Biur Hagra, he brings down in the footnote the full Lashon of the Gaon's Pirush on Shir HaShirim. The Gaon says, Hine Gimel Madregos Ba'adam. There are three stages in a person. Kishu Loimed Etzel Rabo, Hu B'Madregos Bas Tinoik Yoinek Mishtei Imoy. He's like the baby that nurses from the mother when he's by the Rebbe. V'chein erech kabolas kol chochmosoi mei rabboi, ke erech habas shemekabelus mei avio, shekol maisi yodeho lo avio. In other words, what he's saying is that at the beginning, the subsuming of the Talmud under the Rebbe is complete, and everything comes from the Rebbe, and the mail of the Talmud is a shtickle from the Rebbe. That's all he is. In other words, mekabel and not motzi at all. He's just a mekabel. He's like the moon to the sun, in that respect. Then he says, "V'achar kach kishenase chacham ve'ein tzarich od l'rabo, harehu kechover l'rabo v'chachmaso, k'mo ha'ach v'ha'ochos she'ein mashpiyin zelozeh." He says, "Brothers and sisters," he means to say, "I am a chaver, I am a colleague," means I'm on that level, and whatever the Rebbe's doing, I'm doing already, and Mamela, we are in that sense equal, like brothers. So it's no longer the parent-child relationship, it's the brother-sister relationship. That's the next stage. V'zesha Amru, and he brings a fascinating analogy, Isha Misaperis Imbalad. Remember the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that there are different Mishmaros. And in one Mishmara, Isha Misaperis in Bala, these are the private moments of husband and wife. Ki hatoira nikres Isha. Kamosha Amru al tikre mayrasha. It says mayrasha kilas yaigiv, and Chazal say al tikre mayrasha ela ma'oirasa, that there's a wedding going on. And the Torah is the wife of the Talmud Chacham. And Kamosha Kozla Halon, he sisichecha. Vakit soisa, he sisichecha. Vratza loimar. Shiroya oisoi umisaperes imoi. Kiatoira yoshevis umalamedes imoi. Moshe omru betonet veil yohu. Aval hu eino roya oisoi. Ulkach omar shihi misaperes imoi. In other words, it's fascinating. He's telling you that at that private moment, the Torah gives itself to the loimed ha-Torah without the loimed ha-Torah being able to reciprocate. And that's that early moment. But then he says later on, he says, Kishanase chacham, v'loimid la'acherim, u'mashpia l'talmidoi, k'moshe mashpia ha'eim livna, nikra eim. V'oz ha'kodesh baruch hu oimer halocha mishmoi, v'koyri loy imoi. Batara she'itra loy imoi, Who is it talking about? The Melech Shloimeh. Who in Kabbalah is the Melech Shloimeh? The Melech Shaha Shalom Shaloi. Melech Shaha Shalom Shaloi is the Melech Malchi Amlochim. We're talking about the Ribbono Shloim himself. Ribbono Shloim has a mother. His mother made him a crown. Look at the crown that his mother made for him. So he says that when the Talmud Chacham reaches the level of being mashpia l'talmidim, then the Ribbono Shel'olam is maskim to say a halacha in his name, ke'ilu he's the Talmud of that Rebbe himself. Even the Eibishter becomes the Talmud, kivayocho, in quotation marks. And that is the level that the Atara is given from the mother to the Ribbono Shel'olam, who is Imai, the Malame, the Mashpia, the Meira Derech. So what he's saying over here is that the second stage is when he's Loimid La'acherim, that is Atara She'itra La'imai. I think what the Vilna Gaon is trying to say by quoting this, because it's clear that when you're a Talmud, you're a Talmud, and when you're a Rebbe, you're a Rebbe. So why is he quoting his Shir HaShirim to make that point? It doesn't need any explanation. I think what the Gaon is trying to say is this. You know, Yoshua is the perfect example. Perfect example. A Talmud remains a Talmud. There's no such thing as a Talmud no longer being a Talmud. I remember I was standing on the third floor of the yeshiva, and Rav Goldwich, Zichrono Livracha, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen B'Yavne, was very close to the Briska Rav. Anyhow, Rav Goldwich was there. He was visiting in America, and one of the Talmidim from Karen B'Yavne, who was there for a year or two, sees him and runs over to him and gives him the big Shalom Aleichem. And Rav Goldwich, maybe he was busy thinking about something or whatever, but he didn't respond. So the Talmud says in Ivrit, Rebbe, Atalo Zocheroti, Ani Ayiti Talmid Shelcha. You don't remember me? I was your Talmud. So he answers him in Hebrew. He says, Tishma Yedidi. If you're saying you, in past tense, you were my student, then it's a raya, you were never my student. And he continued, just by way of explanation, in case he didn't get it. She'im ata be'emet hayita talmid sheli, as hayita omer ani talmid shelcha. Because if you really were my Talmud, then you would have said, I am your Talmud, not I was your Talmud. That's a very, very powerful statement, and I think the fellow got the picture, because I think he ran for his life. In this little vignette, you know, I saw a yesod which is self-evident. There's no such thing as not being a Talmud. In fact, Chazal tell a whole story that one of the Talmidim didn't say over in the name of his Rebbe, and he was challenged, and he says, what are you talking about? I am the extension of my Rebbe. There's nothing that I say that doesn't come from the Rebbe. There is a Talmud relationship forever. Forever. The most phenomenal example of this, by the way, was the Bir Kashmur. The Rebbe, in learning. I'm talking about in learning. And the Bir Kashmur said when the Rebbe would say a Chiddush in any place where they were learning, it would become a light, a beacon, that would light up all of Shas for me for 3 months. Now, of course, you have to know Shas to be able to say that it light up all of Shas. He wasn't given to exaggerations. The Bir Kashmur was a Goyen Olam. But that person, such a Koyach HaChidush and such a Koyach HaYegiyah, but he was Batel Legamri Ka'afra Da'ara, the Rebbe. And this is what a Talmud is and has to be. Who is the paragon of this virtue, of this kayach? Yeshua bin Nun. Yeshua bin Nun na'ar lo yomish mitoicha oyel. Yeshua is the ultimate Talmud. And that's why he's called Na'ar. Because the concept of Na'ar is that you don't have the kayach of Ish. Because Ish means your own identity, your own creativity, your own giving to others. And the Talmud is just absorbing. You are a Na'ar, no matter how old you are. It doesn't make a difference. And that's Lo Yomish Mitoicha Oil. And that is the remarkable dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam reveals in Parshas Pinchas to Moshe that he's not going into Eretz Yisrael. And even though it says, V'eschanan el Hashem v'esahi leimor, that was later, because Moshe Rabbeinu's incredible mesiras nefesh for Klal Yisrael always put Yisrael first. And even though he knew that if he'd find a replacement, it would be much harder for him to get what he wants from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Elokim ata achiloisa evro nove ere. Nevertheless, he said right away, when Hashem says, not you, Yifkoid Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Ish Al Ha'Eda. Emphasize the word Ish. Doesn't mean Ish V'lo Isha. Ish Al Ha'Eda. What did he want? He wanted a personality. He wanted an authority. He wanted somebody to be able to lead the people. Someone who has the insight to be able to read people and to understand the difference between different personalities of the Keiruchos. He knows how to go Lefi Ruach V'Ruach. And there was no question, it seems from the Mefarshim as well, that he did not have Yehoshua in mind. Why? Because the Talmud Mufak is a nar, lo yomish mitocha ohel. I don't mean nar in the colloquial sense. But the irony is, why do we use the word nar, which means a young person, to mean a fool, a simpleton, more precisely? The answer is because you don't have the life experience. If you don't go out of your Dalet Amos, if you're always in front of the Gemara, how do you expect anyone to develop into a person that has the Havana that is necessary, not to be simple? Because with the Shtender, with the Gemara, life is in itself very simple. So Yehoshua is not a candidate, if he's a nar, to be Ish Al Ha'Eda. You know what the Ribbono Shel Olam says? And I want you to remember this, because it's such a gewaltig gewort. Kaches Yehoshua, Ish Asher Ruach Bo. Ish Asher Ruach Bo. Ribbono Shel Olam is telling him, he's an ish, he's not a na. The concept of a Talmud is an amazing thing. When did he become the ish? It's an unbelievable, it's an existential thing. It's like something that is part and parcel of what a Talmud means. That a Talmud is redefining himself ultimately as the ish when he's called upon to do so. And he always remains the Talmud. But that Talmud becomes the Ish. And the Yehoshua, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehoshua, T'chol asher ha'yisi im Moshe eyeh imach. That's remarkable. Because Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midrashim, as you well know, was a melech before he came into to lead Bnei Yisrael. And he was a zaken, and he went through experiences in the house of the king, Paro, and later on, in the time of Yisrael. And in between all those 80 years of creativity and structure and development as a king, as a leader. And here you have Yehoshua and his entire experience. He doesn't even know what's going on by the Chet HaEgel. Doesn't know. Because he's standing there by the edge of the mountain waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. How does he become the Ish is a mystery. It's a mystery. Not Yehoshua. Every time. How do you become the Ish? When did you become the Ish? But that's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. The Vilna Gaon is saying that the Loimed doesn't seem to have the qualifications to be the Malami. Because the Malami isn't just saying Torah. There's a huge world in the term Malami. So he says, not only does he become a Malami, but the Ribbono Shel Olam Kevayochol is willing to become a Talmud. Ba'Torah she'itra lo'imoy b'yom chasunosa b'yom simchas libay. So that's why he quoted his beer in Shir HaShir. That ad kedei kach does he become a malamid l'acherim, that even the Eibishter is maskim al yodai. That's what he says over here. Now, I wanted to learn with you this Zohar. The Zohar is it's mamish. You know, again, when I say something is gewaldig, I'm not giving a comment about Torah. It's ridiculous. I mean that we have the opportunity right now to gain immensely. That's what I'm trying to say. So he says like this. So the Goyin, let's learn Kesidron, just the next Bir Hagra on Pasuk Yud Zayin before we start Pasuk Yud Ches. Yiyu l'cha, Shaloi Taima Kasha Ataloi made me achirim, ain li baklu. Alze oma yiulcha. Levadcha, Shaloi Taima aniogati harbe va akshav elmud l'talmidim shaloi yogubaz, laze oima levadcha, kloima shaloi yitlu chelik imcha ba meshi yogata. Ve ain lizarim itcha, who neged oisam shaloi lamdu me itcha rak shaymi me rochoik, al tosim libcha laze. Veloi Taima haloi him zorim mimeni, don't worry about it. So here, in a very subtle way, which the Goyim is not really being masbir thoroughly, that requires our yigiyah, the Goyim is mechadish chidushim nifloyim in his pshat of the pasuk. First of all, right? What is it referring to? Okay? So he says, Shaloi Toimar Kasha Atoloi made me achir. He says, first of all, you are now a Talmud. You're learning from others. This is the earliest stage, which requires your Yigiyah. Ein li ba klum. Alze oma yiulucha. Right? So he splits up yiulucha from Levadecha. And he says that Yulucha is saying one thing, and Levadecha is saying something else. So what's Yulucha? It shall be yours. So he's saying, the Talmud has the koyach of integration of the Rebbe's Torah within himself to such an extent that it then becomes also the Talmud's Torah. In other words, a Talmud is never removed from the Torah of his Rebbe, that being a Makabel puts him in a certain box called, it's not your Torah, it's the Rebbe's Torah. It becomes your Torah. Now, what is the Goyim talking about? Lemaisa, he does not explain. What's the difference? Of course, it's the Rebbe's Torah. Now I understand it. So you have to understand something. There is no such thing as the Rebbe's Torah if there's genuine Yigiyah and you really absorb the Rebbe's Torah. You know why? Because the Rebbe, number one, is just a pipeline from Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one. So when you get it, it's yours. That's number one. Number two, and more importantly, Torah is a wellspring of future Torah. Every Torah is the father of another Shtickel Torah. Is the source of another limut. There's no such thing as a dry piece of Torah. And the Mela, who is going to be the Mechadesh to extend the Rebbe's Torah in the various directions in the Shivim Panim to which it's headed? Dafka the Talmud. So the Rebbe is giving me, as it were, raw material which I develop. Everybody knows in the Halacha it says that a person is kind of a shinui. It's now mine because I've developed it, I've transformed it, I've extended it. So you should know, says the Pasuk, according to the Vilna Gaon, Yiyulcha, they will be yours. A remarkable statement. So what's Levadecha? Levadecha is standing Levad. The Pasuk, the word, is standing on its own 2 feet. What does it mean, Levadecha? So he says a remarkable thing. He says, you struggle to learn all of this. Now you have a Talmud, he doesn't struggle. And he's also learning. Like, what's the pshat? How could it be? So the Vilna Gaon says, taka not like that. Al toimar. Ani yogati harbe, v'achshav elmud talmidim shelo yoguba. He says, it's so unfair to be a Rebbe. I killed myself to absorb this Torah, and now I'm going to give it over. You know, there's a very extreme expression of this. Someone once asked the Gadol HaChassidish Rebbe, actually, but Gadol B'Torah, just to say, he asked him, why don't you write a sefer? Why don't you write a sefer? He asked him. So he says, I don't want to get into bed with a person after his chant. What he meant to say is, the person's going to be busy a whole week. And when is he going to have time to open up a sefer? On Shabbos. Nope. So he's going to come home from davening. It's already 11 o'clock, whatever it is. And then he's going to have himself a nice saluda. He's exhausted from the whole week. And he's going to say, no, but I have to learn. So he's going to lie down in bed, he's going to sit down, prop himself up with his pillows, take out the sefer, 10 seconds later, he's fast asleep. So he says, I don't want to get into bed with a fellow. He says, that's what's going to happen to my sefer. That is the extreme expression of this idea. But a person is saying, you know, it doesn't seem right. Now I'm mechuyev to give over, and I have to be masbir as well, as best as I can. There's no halacha that I'm mechuyev to make things inscrutable. I have to try my best. But what is the nature of the best? That's what I spoke about at the very beginning. I think the way the Ramban presented his Torah demanded of you your yegiyah. But this person is wondering and worrying, if I give over my Torah so glibly and so easily, that which I acquired with tremendous yegiyah, it's not right almost. So he said, so it doesn't say, no, that's your job. No. He says, levadecha. There's never going to be a Torah that can be given over glibly, and the koine who acquired it glibly will have it as well as you did when you acquired it for yegiyah. The nature of learning demands yegiyah at every stage and down the pipeline. And the moment there is no yegiyah, it's not that Torah. So that Torah is going to be levadecha. The only time that Torah will be not levadecha is if they have the same yegiyah that you put in. It's a fascinating interpretation, the chidushim nifloyim here. And what's ve'ein lezorim itcha? So we would have thought that levadecha is being explained by ve'ein lezorim itcha. The Vilna Gaon says, first of all, ve'ein lezorim itcha is something new. And secondly, what's ve'ein lezorim itcha saying? So the way the Gaon learns means, don't worry or think ein lezorim itcha. He turns the pshat of the pasuk kimat upside down. Not that it is so that ein lezorim itcha. It's not so that ein lezorim itcha. Meaning, you'll think that your hashpah is limited to your dalet amos. But the outsiders, how will they ever know what you said? How will they ever comprehend it if they don't have a chance to talk to you and to learn from you directly? Says the Gaon, don't worry about it. Don't think ein lezorim itcha. Because hagam, that they're strangers to you, but they will also acquire your Torah. Because what he's suggesting is that a person should realize that whenever he speaks, there are doyrus that are learning. There was Reb Shlomo Hyman, Zichrono Livracha, once came in, very, very big snowstorm. And some Talmidim showed up. Very few, but some Talmidim showed up. He's giving the shiur, and he's dalanging, you know, mamish, you would imagine that there are 100 people in the room. He's giving the shiur mit dem ganzen Trask. So one of the Talmidim, I guess he felt bad for the Rebbe. He says, you know, you don't have to knock yourself out like that. I mean, however he presented it to him, but that's what he was saying. He said, you don't have to knock yourself out like that. You know, we're just in a very little intimate group over here, and you can speak more softly and, you know, without the power, without the force. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm not giving a shiur to you. I'm giving a shiur to Doris. I'm giving a shiur to the whole world. It's a fascinating perception. But that's exactly what the Vilna Gaon is saying over here. Ve'ein, you should never think, Av sheheim ein bonim shalcha, kloima talmidecha nikroim bonim, they are zarim, they are not bonim, loy tochush lozeh, don't worry about it, because you'll see that your futzamay nasecha goes even that far. So, you know, what he's really saying, besides how you should give the Torah, and that every shtickel Torah is like the moment of Har Sinai, and it's not measured by who's in front of you. But he's saying something else also. There are many people who look at the success of some rabbonim, dashanim, mashpiim, marbitzei Torah, magidei shiur. You'll have in the same yeshiva, you have a magid shiur who has hundreds, and you'll have a magid shiur who has 10. And some people are zaycha, some people are not zaycha. In the middle yeshiva, there was once famous moment, the Talmidim are running out of the Beis Medrash, and the particular Magid Shir is walking towards the Beis Medrash. So let's just make up a name. You know, Rabbi Yankiv Stern.
No such person. I'm just saying, let's make up a name instead of the real name. So Rabbi Yankov Stern is going towards the Beis Medrash, and everybody is running for their lives. And they're streaming out of the Beis Medrash, so they don't have to be there, because if they're there, they can't walk out. So they're leaving early. So there's a Talmid who doesn't know what's going on, who's just wandering in the hallway. He just arrived in the yeshiva, and he's like, sees this man, like, is there a fire, what's it called? A fire drill or something? Like, what's going on over here? So he asks the Rosh Yeshiva. So he says, no, he says, Rabbi Yankov Stern is going to give a shiur. The Rosh Yeshiva himself says, Rabbi Yankov Stern is going to give a shiur. So Lebaisa, in the Zechus, in Siyata Dishmai, you don't know what it's all about. Because everything a person does has cosmic consequences, but it also has cosmic impact first. In other words, whoever a person is, it's HaKol Tolu B'mazel, Afilu Sefer Torah Shebaeh, many, many things. And you have to have a Zechus, and sometimes the Zechus is B'davka, that you have that symptom, you never know. But whatever it is, it is. And what if a person says to himself, day and night, I'm not the Baal Hashpa that I could have been, nobody's paying any attention to me, and he eats himself up. So the inyan of Ein L'Zara Mitcha is also, don't think that your Hashpa has to be measured by the number of Talmidim, or by the, because one never knows. And sometimes, and I think that Pirkei Avos makes that point over and over again, one vart, one yisoy, one tchuna, and it can change the world. And you may not even be aware of it. You know, there are times that people read the hesped of somebody that was lifted in a newspaper, and there's one line there that makes such a roshim on them, the person's already gone. And it's from a newspaper. I mean, imagine. It's not from a Beis Medrash, it's not from a Rosh Yeshiva, it's from some writer that put it together. And he writes about a person, and somebody reads that and he says, oi! And from that, oi, it could be generations of Torah, generations of Chesed, generations of Tzedakah, who knows? There's no way of knowing what Hashpah is to begin with. Not to mention that ultimately the tachlis of all Hashpah is that the person who's Mashpia should become more. So that you always have, even if he's speaking to the wall. So that's what the Goyen says, but bear with me just this next piece. Yehi mekorcha baruch. Shetiye kemayon hanoiveya. You shall be like an ever-producing stream of Torah. Vezehu sheyizbarech mekorcha. Usamach ba'eshes nurecha. Afal pikein tismach ba'mesh shekvar chidashta. Kmo she'omru bezoya parshas mishpatim tzadik tes. It starts on Tzadik Tesom at Aleph on the bottom and continues on Tzadik Tesom at Beis on the top. And I quote, the Goyen says here an interesting thing, that Smach Be'eshes Narecha, you're already long, long married and you have many, many children, but you should rejoice in the wife of your youth, means in the Torah of your youth. Rejoice in what you already learned, even though you are constantly producing new chidushim and more chidushim and more talmidim and more who listen to you and who hear your Torah. So where is this? What does the Zohar have to say about this? So he said that this is the Zohar. Tochad orcha da'iraisa kachu. This is the way of Torah. In other words, the Zohar is telling you that this is how Torah works. Bekadmisa. At the very outset, katsharyo is galol legabi barnash, when it is about, at the very beginning, to reveal himself to a person. Irmizas lebirimizu. It only provides a hint. Imagine someone who doesn't open the door and say, here I am, but there's a little crack in the door and there's already the scent of the person. The smell, the perfume. You sense that somebody's there. Irimizasli, berimizu, with a remez ba'alma, iyoda tav. If he can get the sense of the remez, if he chaps from the remez, it's good. Ve'ilo yoda, shadris legabe, she sends him a message, ve'karosli pesi, and she calls him a simpleton. Tzapelet de giv zaya. What is the zaya trying to say? Ve'amrit oiraiso lahu, the Shadras Lagabe, Amoru Lahu Pesi, the Yikrav Hocha, the Ishtoi Bade.
Hadohu Dichsiv. It's a pasuk later in Mishlei in Perek Tes, in the middle of the Perek, Mi Pesi Yosur Heina. And the Gaon there also speaks about two different stages and two different levels, Pesi and Chasar Leiv. But what does the Zohar want? The Zohar says that at the beginning, when you have that remez, means the person has not yet wet his feet in Torah and doesn't have the ability to comprehend. So generally, there would be a tendency, if I don't chap, I don't chap, so it's not for me. And this, by the way, is has made many korbanos. Person looks at this Torah and sees a person who's on the madregas of Torah, hears him say things that he doesn't understand what he's talking about, and he runs for his life. This is not for me. Because we're used to the idea that you should be able to understand something, and if you can't... Now, if a person wanted to be a physicist, and he goes in and watches the scientist writing an equation on the board, and he doesn't know the rudiments of physics, but he has a good head, and he wants to... He has a feel for it. He has like an idea. He wants to know, what are the equations that manage the world of the Teva? So if you imagine a person to say, I don't understand one word he's talking about, and then you run for your life. No. The teretz is because you understand why you don't understand. Because you don't have the alphabet. So you go and you study a simple text for high school kids, and then from there you go weiter and weiter, and they introduce you to the various mathematics that's necessary for it, which is very complicated and demanding, and you struggle and you strive, and finally you reach a certain level. And believe it or not, when you walk in 5 years later into that room and you see the equation on the board, you're able to fathom its meaning, and perhaps even more. And eventually, you may be even be able to contradict it or to build upon it. But that's the point that the Zohar is making. The Zohar says that when the person understands the remez, who understands remazim? The genius understands remazim. The person who has incredible endowments understands remazim. That's Maven Dover Mitoch Dover right at the beginning. You open up the door a little bit and he already figures out how to open up the door entirely. He gets it in a flash. While everybody else is trying to figure out what the Rebbe said, he's already building upon it. Tili Tilim Shalalochas. But what happens if a person cannot do that? He doesn't get the scent. He doesn't smell the perfume. He needs to see it b'chush. So she calls him a pesi. And so then what? So mi pesi yosuhena. She says to the person, how much yigia do you want to put into this? That's how much I will open up the door. You want it? Do you really want it? Then come hither. Come hither doesn't mean walk six steps. It's a concept. It's an image. You have to be aggressive and go for it. You have to struggle and strive yourself. It's not going to come to you in a dream. That's mi pesi yosur heina. Come hither. The yikrav hocha, let him come here, the ishtoi vadei, and then I will talk to him. I will present myself. Karev legaba, the next paragraph, shariyas lemalola imei mi bosa pareichta, de parsole, milin lefum orchui, adi istakel ze'er v'dohu drasha. It's remarkable. It said, you know, you'd think after the commitment, after the yegiya, all the doors open up. Not so fast. Because Torah has levels and levels and levels. And you don't suddenly have all the doors opening up for you. One door opens up for you. And the image that's presented here is very fascinating. There's a parathas behind that door. You don't have total access. There's a parathas, parathta. Like the Targum Unkelus says, Vasisa Pareiches, Pareichta. The Pareiches is a Mechitza. It's not a solid door, but it's a Mechitza just the same. And through that Mechitza, the Torah speaks to the Loimed HaTorah. You haven't yet arrived. And that is what we call Drasha. Lebasa Tishtoi Bahadei, Mibasa Shoshifa Dakik, Milin Dechida. Things that are subtle, things that are riddled, so to speak, quote unquote. Vidu vizuhi hagoda. That's the next level of learning and comprehension in Torah. What's a shashifa? So
don't know if you remember the Ramban in Chumash, but the Ramban on by Yehuda, when he had the Maisa with Tamar, so it says Chaysamcha upsilecha matcha shebiyodecha. These are the things that you should leave behind. And then she says Lemiha Chaysamis Lemiha Psil Maila. So psil, like in psil tchelus, means a thread. So the Ramban is pointing out it doesn't mean a thread, but it's a thin piece of material. And he says very interestingly over there that whenever the Targum translates Simla throughout Tanakh, wherever Simla or Beged or something like that is translated, he does not use the word Shushifa. There's one place where Simla is translated by the Targum Shushifa, and that's Uparsu HaSimla by the in Parshas Kiseitse. You know, when they want to show that by the Motzi Shema, correct. So they show the Simla with the blood. What is this? What is that? There the Targum says, Uforsu Shushifa. So what Shushifa? He says Shushifa is a very thin, small piece of Beged, and that was the Beged that was used to provide the simon that she was still a Besula, and that is the Shushifa that we're talking about over here. It's not a pareches, a big, heavy piece of material. It's a small and thin piece of material, almost like a veil, where you can anticipate what it looks like behind. So now, all of a sudden, the mechitza, in other words, has gotten much thinner and much smaller. He's already almost there. And that's called Haggadah. The first thing is called Rasha. This is called Haggadah. Lebasar de'iyu ragil legabah, when he's very accustomed to the Torah, is galias legabe anpin be'anpin, face to face. There's not a mechitza of a paroiches. There's not even a mechitza of a shushifa. It's now one-on-one, face-to-face. And what does that signify? Kol rozin stimin dila. All of its hidden secrets. V'chol archin stimin, and all its highways and byways. The hava b'libo t'mirin miyoymin kadmoyim, which was hidden in her from day one, from ancient times. K'dein iyu barnash sholim bal toira. Vadai Murray, the basic, becomes the master of the house. The Hakol Rosin Dilo Galiasle, because she has revealed all of her secrets. Volorechikas, Volorechikas, Minei Klum. She did not distance anything from him, nor did she cover up anything. Omrole, Chamis Milo de Remoza de Koramizna Loch Bekadmisa. Remember the remes that I told you at the very beginning? The scent at the door? Well, now you know what that's all about. It's amazing, Zoya. The Zoya says that she tells him afterwards, you see, now you understand it. Kach v'kach rozen havu v'kach v'kach. K'dein chomi, now see, thou inun milin lavloi sofa v'lavloi migra minayu. Now that I've given you anything, don't add to it, don't detract from it. This is the Torah. But in any case, what the Goyin says here is that when it says, yihi mekorcha baruch usmach be'eshes nurecha, you should be sameach b'mashik v'r chidashta. What do you mean? What is he deriving from the Zoya? That the Zoya says, it's a fascinating idea. Fascinating. Person tells you something, and at the level where you are, you have a certain comprehension of it. But that's not what it is at all. It's only later, igloi milsalam afreya, what it really was all about. And that's b'samach b'eshes nurecha. I have to tell you, you know, each person is living with his own experiences, and I don't want you to extrapolate too much, but you have to understand that the Samach Be'eshes Nurecha is such a meiridika havana now, it really, it blows our minds, what the Zoya was saying, and how the Vilna Goyin explains the Pasuk. You get married. Every person who gets married, Lugabe, his wife, is an idiot. You should forgive me. He doesn't have, I mean, a pessy kind of idiot. He doesn't have the slightest idea. He doesn't know what marriage is. He doesn't know what the future will bring. And he doesn't understand what it means to live with somebody and what that does for him. If he is Zaycha, he doesn't know what it does for him. He doesn't have the slightest comprehension. They're like two children playing in the sandbox. Years go by, experiences develop, children grow. You have Eidekach, Bezes Hashem, Yisbarach, and all of a sudden, you discover who you married. And it's a discovery that doesn't happen all of a sudden in the sense that there was no interim discoveries. It's a constant stream of discoveries. But there's one day that a person wakes up and says, I was with Adam Gavul all the years, and I have no Hasaga. You didn't have Hasaga? That mean you didn't have Shalom Bayit? No, tremendous Shalom Bayit. You didn't respect? No, tremendous respect. But you didn't have the Hasaga anyhow. That's what Torah is. You learn, and you learn, and you learn, and you learn. And the Vilna Gaon says, Samach be'eshes nirecha, discover who it is that you had all along. So she says, I revealed it to you a long time ago, but at that point you had no sense. It was a remez ba'alma. But this is what I was telling you. And now you know it. And the simcha of having gained finally what I learned all along is a samach be'eshes nirecha kind of simcha. I think it's just something that's beyond words beautiful.